the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening. How is everyone? Okay, great. We are going to take a look at Ruth chapters 2 and 3 in one night. Hooray! Fantastic. So we are unapologetically going to read a lot of the Bible. Hope that's okay. You are in church. It'll be all right. So, previously on Ruth, you're used to hearing that kind of stuff. Previously on Ruth, to use food bank language, we met two women in crisis. We met Naomi and we met Ruth. We identified these two women as both returning to the promised land. And in this, we saw that they were not just returning to a significant place, but returning to the Lord himself. We identified that Naomi was coming back to the Lord dejected, and that Ruth was coming to the Lord for the very first time in a costly, all-in kind of way. And we're left at the end of chapter 1 with a couple of questions. And as I was hearing Pete speak, I thought these are the kind of things that someone entering food bank nervously for the first time might be asking themselves too. Can I ever recover from this? Might Naomi think. What future do we have? And maybe Ruth is particularly worried because she's a stranger and she's a foreigner in this land. Now, moving it on to thinking specifically about Ruth, they would be asking, or we should ask of them, what will these two find when they go into the promised land? What are these two going to find? What's next for Naomi and Ruth? And if it's helpful, use some of that, what we've just been thinking about with Pete and Fubak, just to get inside these guys' shoes. Get inside the shoes of Naomi and Ruth as we open up chapter 2 and chapter 3. How are they thinking? How are they feeling as they enter the promised land in crisis, or as the book of Ruth will use it, empty? So let's turn together to Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1. You'll find that on page 256 if you haven't been able to find it already. And I'm going to kick off and get reading, and we're going to finish at the end of chapter 3. Our God is the great storyteller, and it's his voice that's telling the story. So let's have a look at chapter 2 and verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover corn behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor or kindness." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She's the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the harvesters are working, and follow along after the women. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor or kindness in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor or kindness in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have reassured me and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them on the floor for her to pick up and don't rebuke her. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she gathered and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she'd eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she'd been working. The name of the man I work with today is Boaz, she said. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She added, that man is our close relative. He is one of our family guardians or redeemers. Then Ruth the Moabite said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish all my corn. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. The story's not done yet. Chapter 3 and verse 1. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, I must find a home or rest for you, where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you've worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he's finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a young woman lying at his feet. Who are you? He asked. I'm your servant Ruth, she said. Spread the corner of your garment or wings over me, since you are a family guardian, a redeemer. The Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you're a woman of noble character. Although it's true that I'm a family guardian, there's another who's more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your family guardian, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, no one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. He also said, bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out. When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then she went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, he gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. Well done, everyone. Well done. Good amount of Bible reading. That's fantastic. We're going to take a look tonight at chapters 2 and 3. Last week we did chapter 1, and next week we're doing chapter 4. So hopefully see you again next week too. That would be lovely. Now, the reason I've chosen to take 2 of these chapters together is that they're actually quite similar. Let's spot some of the similarities, if that's okay. Take a brief look down at your Bible. Both chapters, 2 and 3, begin and close with Naomi and Ruth together. They both begin with an expression of godly initiative. Ruth in chapter 2, Naomi in chapter 3. Both chapters describe Ruth venturing out. In chapter 2, she's going to go to the fields. In chapter 3, she's going to go to the threshing floor. Both describe profound meetings between Ruth and Boaz. Both have Boaz saying that Ruth is worthy of blessing. Both have Boaz giving Ruth plenty of food. And both close with Ruth and Naomi together again, explaining all that has happened. The two chapters are closely paralleled, and I think we can gain a bit by taking the two together. There's only a couple of differences. Chapter 2 is public, open, everyone can see, and chapter 3's, well, that's private, that's at night, that's intimate, that's close, that's between Boaz and Naomi. And I think as we take a walk through briefly now, that we are going to see that the Lord's astonishing, wise, and plentiful kindness comes through flesh and blood people. One of the key themes that runs through the book of Ruth is kindness, Hebrew word hesed, in our Bibles, chapter 2, favor. It's all over the book of Ruth. We see it in chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. Ruth shows Naomi to kindness in leaving her country and family to care for her mother-in-law because she loves her, and Boaz shows kindness to Ruth in offering the field and giving her plenty. Kindness is all over this book. And so we asked at the end of chapter 1, when we started taking a look at chapter 2 and 3, what future do these two have? Can Naomi ever recover from this? And what about Ruth, who's a stranger in a foreign land? What can they expect when they enter the promised land? They can expect the Lord's astonishing kindness. You didn't know it was coming. You didn't know it was coming. And there's a redeemer. There's a man willing to let Ruth glean and gain food. This is stunning. They were in crisis, weren't they? They were empty. And they've found not only food for the day, but a promise of a redeemer. Longer term security as well. We see how astonishing it is if you have a look at chapter 2 and all of these happenstances that get brought out to us by the reader, by the author. As it turned out, or as other translations have it, it just so happened. Ha 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 ha. Things just don't happen in the Bible. That's not how it works. And then the next verse. Just then, or as other translations will have it, which is kind of more fun and archaic, behold, Boaz, he's here, he's appeared. It's great storytelling. The narrator knows that nothing just happens. We know that nothing just happens. But from Ruth's point of view, right here, she's no idea about the significance of going out to that field. She probably doesn't even know who Boaz is. And certainly she doesn't know where God is leading her in the long term. But she heads out. She uses her godly initiative to go and glean. And Ruth discovers the astonishing kindness of a stranger. That stranger's name is Boaz. His background and his credentials are entirely unknown to Ruth. Yet more astonishing still is that this is the very same man who just happened to cross paths. Sorry, this is the very same man who she just happened to cross paths with who'd turn out to be the Redeemer. Or as our translations put it, the family guardian. And in Old Testament times, it was a rule that if a man died, leaving his widow without children, which is the situation for Ruth and Naomi, the nearest male relative had to step in and marry his widow and enable her to have children. You'll find things like that in Deuteronomy 25, Leviticus 25. Not only that, this guy who's a redeemer or a family guardian, if the family get into real trouble and straits, it's his obligation to buy back any land or debt that they've encroached and restore it to the family. So this guy, this character of a redeemer, is going to be really important. But we might well have been expecting this if we've been reading the Bible as a whole so far, because redemption's kind of a big deal in the story. This probably isn't a surprise if you're an Israelite reading through the Bible. It's in God's people's DNA. Exodus 6 and verses 6 to 8 state it really, really bluntly. I am the Lord, and I'll bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I'll free you from being slaves to them. I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I'll take you as my own people. I will be your God. Our God's a redeemer. He had something like this in store for Naomi and Ruth when they returned. So these two women, whom life seems to have chewed up and spat out, have seemingly stumbled upon the Lord's astonishing kindness. And we pointed out last time that Naomi looks a little bit like the prodigal. She's away in a faraway country and she's hungry and she comes home. We said that she was like the prodigal again when she comes back home with really low expectations. She does not expect much from the Lord at all. She comes drudging back, just like the prodigal does. He comes back hoping to be a slave or a servant in his father's house. And he gets to the brow of the hill, and lo and behold, or just then, he sees a father running towards him. We got some similarities between the prodigal and Naomi returning here. Things are about to make a change for Naomi's circumstances. Well, not only are they going to find astonishing kindness from the Lord, they're going to find the Lord's wisdom, the Lord's wise kindness. Both Ruth and Boaz are described as acting and being wise. Chapter 2 and verse 1, Boaz is a man of standing. And chapter 3 and verse 11, Ruth is a woman of noble character. Those are both ways of describing someone who's wise. They're actually the same Hebrew word, hail. Now, Ruth, if you checked out the Hebrew Bible, if we were all opening up our scrolls this evening, Ruth in that Bible is placed just after Proverbs, and in fact, just after Proverbs 31. And if you know anything about the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31 is this amazing description of a woman of noble character, or actually, tantalizingly, a wife of noble character. And Ruth is kind of set up as this wise woman. Not only that, there is a very, very wise man in here too, Boaz. He's called a man of standing. And he displays great wisdom in the welcome that he provides for Naomi. He may well have been recalling some scripture verses to mind. Exodus 22 and verse 21. Do not ill-treat or oppress a foreigner, for you were foreigners in Egypt. Boaz was the kind of guy who could apply scripture to real life. There's a Moabite in his field. They are enemies of Israel. He has a Bible verse he could lean on in Deuteronomy to say, oi, off you go, get out. but he's got it. He's got this Jesus-like wisdom. He knows that the real heart behind the law, the real heart behind it all, is that God has a love for the stranger and the foreigner. The way Exodus describes it is that God's people aren't to ill-treat or oppress a foreigner. Why? Because they were foreigners in Egypt. So Boaz, he's a man of wisdom. Ruth, she's a woman of wisdom. And hopefully, that somewhat gives us some confidence about Ruth chapter 3. It's a little bit strange, isn't it? We just read through it. It's a bit close. It's a bit intimate. It's risky. It's not risque, but it's close. There's some odd stuff going on. But Ruth is a woman of noble character. This should help us grasp those tricky bits in chapter 3, that nighttime meeting of Ruth and Boaz at the threshing floor. And what Ruth does is absolutely stunning and amazing. She balances audacity and restraint. She comes to Boaz, and Boaz knows exactly what's being asked of him, marriage, to redeem her, but she in no way forces his hand. It's this amazing show of audacity and restraint. Well, they're going to see the Lord's, going to see the astonishing kindness of the Lord and the Lord's wise kindness, but not just that, the Lord's plentiful kindness. And this is almost a nice comic relief to the tension that's running through chapters 2 and 3 of this desperate, in crisis story. God wants to tell a couple of jokes as he redeems his people, which is exactly the kind of thing we find in Ruth. We pointed out last time one of the big arcs through the book, emptiness to fullness, and next week on to fulfillment. Ruth's material needs are being amply supplied in chapters 2 and 3. If you went through and did the food references, it's just really, really fun. Not only is she permitted to glean by the overseer and Boaz, but Boaz comes along and almost comically adds to her provisions. He is very funny. He tells his workers, let her gather among the sheaves, which she's allowed to do, things that have dropped in the gathering, she's allowed to pick up. But then he says, even pull out some of the stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up. He's kind of undoing some of the workers' work already and just saying, you know, let's put it down here. Look, there's more that she can pick up. It's this kind of comical show of plenty and generosity. That gleaning law allows for anything dropped to be gathered by the poor and the foreigner. And Boaz is wandering through the field deliberately, pulling up stalks, dropping them on the floor so that she can get some more. There's just an amazing, plentiful kindness to Boaz. And he gives that gleaning law this dynamic, fun, Jesus-like interpretation. So try and picture Boaz's field, this superabundant, wonderful, full field of grain. Ruth goes home with plenty, and we get a fascinating insight here. Take a look at chapter 2 and verse 18. Naomi is watching Ruth come home. The woman who in chapter 1 had self-identified as empty and bitter, this empty woman sees Ruth, her daughter-in-law, staggering home with an incredible amount of barley. She's staggering under the weight of an ephah, which is about 30 pounds or 13 kilograms of barley, and she's staggering through the town towards Naomi. She'd have needed Pete's food logistics just to get home from the field. She's carrying loads and loads of grain. She's apparently got 2 weeks' worth of food. And not only that amount of plenty, we get another little detail too. Not only does she bring home her gleanings, but she also brings home what was left over from her meal with Boaz too. Remember in verse 15, take a look. Boaz invites her for this meal in the field, and she ate all she wanted and had some left over. Next week, we'll be looking at how our story points to Christ in more depth. But perhaps just here, just for fun, let's take this a little additional detail. And maybe, just maybe, we might be thinking of the feeding of the 5,000. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. With God, there is plenty. And we see that same plentiful supply again in chapter 3. It's almost a comic interlude to cut the tension of this dramatic proposal that Ruth gives to Boaz. Boaz, after all this, is actually quite keen that she doesn't go home to her mother-in-law empty-handed, and he's going to give her 6 lots of grain again. So she isn't going to go home empty-handed. And through it all, we're seeing the Lord's astonishing, wise, and plentiful kindness in action. Well, not only that, I think we've got to ground it somewhere. It's this. It's that in chapters 2 and 3 of Ruth, this no supernatural events, no miracles, no hand out the sky, no parting of the sea moment, but the Lord's kindness is seen and experienced by all the characters, by Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz, and it's experienced through flesh and blood, normal, everyday people. Makes you think about us. It makes you think about church. It makes you think about the one another's in the New Testament. They're not some abstract way in which we're to do some good. They're the way in which the Lord's kindness is shown to his people. Could you this week be an agent of the Lord's kindness in someone else's life? Or how about the other way around? Is God calling you to actually receive his kindness through flesh and blood, other people? Because it works both ways, doesn't it? I think we see some of this in the wonderful way in which Ruth and Naomi love mixing up speaking about a human and speaking about the Lord. They do it really, really cleverly. Take a look at Ruth chapter 2 and verse 20. In all of this plenty that Naomi's been seeing from Ruth's return from the field, she's beginning to warm again to the God of Israel. And after hearing all about the astonishing, wise, and plentiful kindness shown to Ruth, she says, "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." And you're not really sure, and the commentators are not really sure whether she's referring to Boaz or the Lord. You're just kind of left with a, don't know. Oh, how about this one? Chapter 3, Ruth, her only words in chapter 3, she's startled Boaz, and quite rightly so. Boaz has said, "Who are you?" And in Ruth's reply, in verse 9, she says, "I am your servant Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a family guardian." That word garment could also be wings. The Hebrew is apparently the same. And she's referring back to, just have a look the other side of the page, chapter 2 and verse 12. Back in the field, Boaz says to Ruth, "May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to find refuge." So Ruth is strongly suggesting to Boaz that he should step in and be the answer to his own prayer. So, what are we praying for? And should we step in and be the answer to our own prayer in the week ahead? Is that what's going on? Well, all the interactions of Ruth 2 and 3 lead us to see that the Lord's kindness isn't an abstract, intangible thing, but comes through real flesh and blood people. And just because this kindness comes in an earthy and day-to-day way doesn't make it any less the Lord's. The Lord's astonishing, wise, and plentiful kindness comes through flesh and blood people, and it comes chiefly and foremost in the flesh and blood of the Lord Jesus, whose greatest kindness we're going to remember now in body and blood, bread and wine.